The original kings of podcasting, starring Mark Chambers and Todd Perry. Season 2, Episode 4, Late in Life.
OG Kings.
Yes.
Todd Perry here.
Mark Chambers.
So, Mark, here's something I've just put together in the last couple minutes while recording this fine show.
Yes.
And here's the weird thing. Mm-hmm. I never, ever see you wearing shorts. Do you actually own shorts? Because I'm wearing shorts right now. It's okay. It's not a hot day.
No.
It's not a cold day.
No.
It's a relaxing day.
Yeah.
And I've opted for my knees, ankles, feet, everything to be exposed.
Sure.
I'm beginning to think that maybe you have a serious rash or something. You're trying to have extra long pubic hair. I don't know. But you don't wear shorts. I don't think I've ever seen you wear shorts.
No. I don't own any shorts.
What?
I actually don't have any.
So you have legs that are so pale, it's like you've been living on the holodeck.
It's alarming. I'm not gonna show any skin. If you were to see me at the beach in the water,
yeah,
I would be wearing jeans.
Okay, so you wouldn't be wearing one of those old timey swimsuits like the "Hello, my baby, hello," where it's like goes down to the ankles, has the ruffles on it.
What do they call those swimming gowns or?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but no.
Swimwear?
I wouldn't be wearing one of those. Because I don't swim.
Okay.
Either.
Do you know how to swim?
No.
Honestly?
That's true. That's a true statement.
You don't know how to swim. All this time we've done podcasts, known each other, and I didn't know this. But again, now I'm putting it together, and I've never had a moment where Mark's like, hey, bro, let's go hit the beach.
Yeah.
I'd never gotten that text.
Let's go let the waves crash over us. No, you're never going to get that text from me because I don't know how to swim. When I go out on the boat, I'm terrified.
On the boat.
The boat.
Not a boat.
No.
You know that boat that people go out on?
Yeah, the boat, the one that people go out on.
Mm-hmm. The water boat?
Yeah. I'm not scared. I'm just a little heightened.
Now, do you have the life jacket on?
Yes.
Like, and you have it tied, and you keep checking it to make sure it's tied appropriately.
Sometimes I'll just be like, dude, give me a yank.
Yeah, just from the back.
I want you to just surprise me. I'm like Pink Panther.
Right.
I'm like, Kato, you know, you got to make sure I'm on guard.
Right.
I need you to just come up behind me and go, yeah! And just grab the life jacket. Don't throw me overboard.
No, because that wouldn't be good.
That wouldn't be good.
Do you sometimes fear that if you were to fall overboard, that the life preserver would work, but you'd be wrong side
it
up?
It would be just
feet in the air,
jean covered legs,
going
flapping,
back.
The fabric weighing me down as it soaks through. This is something. So I've tried to tackle this issue in my mind, and I fear that it may be too late because I'm in my 30s at this point.
To go shorts?
To learn how to swim.
Oh,
to go shorts as well, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're correct. The fact I started with the shorts thing, not knowing that you couldn't swim, and now I feel like we should just do 30 minutes on why don't you
on can't swim.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's something you know later in life that maybe you should go out and take a swim lesson. Does that scare the shit out of you?
It does. And will it stick? Will it actually...
The water?
Well...
Will you eventually dry off, yes?
Okay.
If you get wet?
I mean, I've showered. I assume that's the same kind of water.
Well, no. The thing is, the water, if you go out into the ocean, some call it brine, it's salty.
Mm.
And there are creatures.
Mm.
There are jellyfish.
Mm?
There are codfish.
Huh.
There are... I don't know how to say this. There's a thing called a shark.
Wow.
Big teeth.
Oh, I saw that movie.
You know, you were very uncomfortable a couple days ago when we were actually out on the boat.
Yeah.
And you did have a really large kind of life jacket.
Yeah. But, I mean, and you thought that I was hamming it up for the camera.
For the show.
Yeah.
For the mic.
For the hamming it up for the mic, yeah. Not so much the case. Not terrified of the water.
Okay. Now, why
terrified
is it
of shorts? Okay. Not terrified of the water.
Oh, so maybe that it says okay. They're one in this. There's a symbiotic relationship between shorts and water.
And the water.
Now,
yeah.
Was it when you were a child? Did your parents not take you to swim lessons? Like I did the thing where I was little and I did the bubbles. Like make the
okay.
bubbles.
Okay.
And you kick your feet and you yeah. learn how to swim.
Yeah.
I actually crack my my chin open.
Mm.
Had to get stitches.
Okay.
Because I was at a mishap in swim school. But you know what happened? I got back in the next day.
Okay.
3-year-old Todd Perry was back in the water, back making things happen. So what happened?
So my parents never pulled the trigger on that.
It was just manana?
Never got me the swim lessons. Never felt the need to teach that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing, like telling people and not teaching people.
Sure.
I would get like told how to swim. Like if I was like, because my friends
like
know how to
on
swim.
Land.
Well, and it's just like,
so
oh,
you put your arm out here.
But then people, okay, so swimming has a strangely analogous to using chopsticks. It's something that everyone assumes you know how to do, and the moment they find out you don't know how to do it, they go, "Oh, that's easy. You can float if you just relax. You just got to kick your legs to move yourself." And I mean, that's pretty much it. You're golden. Just like if someone's like, they see you, you know, as a 30-something man, and you can barely use chopsticks. They're like, "Oh, well, let me show you how to do it."
You don't know how to use chopsticks?
I sort of can.
Like, well, on a 1 to 10, like,
oh,
four. 10 being Mr. Miyagi.
Four.
One being the lobster boy.
I would say 7 being where white people assume is a 10.
Yeah.
I would be a 4.
Like, there's some guy we haven't met as just a collective white race.
Yes.
There's some guy that, like, just in deep China.
He actually built a house using chopsticks.
Right.
Brick by brick, just picking up the bricks with chopsticks and putting them on the mortar. But you're picturing that now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just fishing him out of the wheelbarrow.
I'm going to do an obscure podcast with this man.
Yeah.
This is probably a Taoist. Okay, not to get too derailed here, but I had this theory the other day. I was putting together a list. I was thinking pod topics, and not all of them make it to the air.
Yeah.
But my thing was ways that I can immediately tell somebody's political persuasion based on their activities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing, like...
Fork at a sushi restaurant?
Conservative.
Oh.
Usually.
Okay.
That was the chopstick thing was usually all of my liberal friends that want to seem worldly and, you know, they want to engage in other people's cultures.
Yep.
They use chopsticks when they go out for sushi.
Yes.
All of my more conservative friends, they're hitting that fork.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's just, I don't know whether it's a, I love America and I love my ways, therefore I'm using the fork. Or it's a, I just don't give a shit, I want to eat.
Yeah.
Which, well, you know.
So I...
Conservatives out there, tell us how you feel about the fork and, yeah.
Call in now, 555 Rush.
Yeah.
I got a nice big laugh about this when I was in Japan.
A very polite laugh with hands over the mouth?
No, yeah. I was, you know, it was like, it was like half like Korean people. We were all in town together for the same thing.
You made Korean people laugh?
I did.
Oh.
Usually my talents are limited to the Midwest of America making people laugh. I was out and then like someone noticed in this group of like 8 people, like 6 of whom, 5 of whom were Japanese and then one Korean person and then me and a white boy.
Yeah.
Someone checked the math, make sure I got to the number of people I said. And, I could like barely use chopsticks and someone like everyone looks and then someone like says like, "Oh, do you need me to show you how?" And I was like, "No, like, listen, I'm 31 years old. Do you think no one's ever been sitting next to me and said, let me show you real quick?
Yeah.
You think this doesn't happen hundreds of times?"
And also on the chopstick wrapper.
It tells you.
Yeah, it's like 3 steps.
Yeah.
Insert chopstick here, chop.
Yeah.
You know.
And then someone, like the waitress, I guess, saw, and they're trying to be polite, as it's Japan. It's a very traditional Japanese restaurant. The waitress brings me a fork.
Yeah.
Without being prompted,
right.
She just brought it.
Which in America, someone would be screaming racism.
But I,
right.
I, well, and I was insulted, but I was like, I have to, that's me. I have to put that behind me. I shouldn't feel insulted. She was trying to be nice. And then I yelled, because someone was like, oh, well, you just, you know, and they were trying to be cocky. They're like, look at me with chopsticks. And I was like, you should see me with a fucking fork.
Yeah.
I got a nice big laugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice big laugh on the table. Wow. And then I, you know, I did not ever touch the fork that the woman brought me.
Okay.
I was very hungry.
Yeah.
And the shorts, the can't swim, the chopsticks, I have hit my 30s and I'm a man child.
Yeah. I think that I've gone through a spot in my life where I'm kind of, I feel like I've left a lot of life on the table.
Mm.
You know, like sometimes we do a show and then you'll go back and you'll listen to it and you'll go, oh, shit, there was a joke sitting right there and I didn't get it.
Yep.
Or there was a part of that topic that we could have milked for another 30 minutes. Yep. Right. There was some more juice left in the berry.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's more juice left in life. So I'm actually trying to right wrongs of like shit I didn't get into, mm-hmm, or shit I didn't know how to do. Like I read some tweet, like some athlete one day was like, get 1% better every day.
Mm.
Which sounds like some like jerk off bullshit stuff, but actually there's an interesting point to that. And it's very easy. 1% is not that hard. I could learn three words in Japanese and be 1% better of a human being tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? But so no swimming.
No swimming.
Chopsticks you can improve on.
I could definitely improve.
Now, so I was thinking like there's some shit that in life I've come on to later that I'm like, wait. Like, where have you been all my life? Or am I too old to be into this?
Yeah.
Like, I was in Hawaii a couple weeks back, and Hawaii, also coming too late in life at 38, first time to Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Have you been?
I have not been.
Oh. Nobody ever goes to Hawaii and comes back and is like, eh.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Yeah. You well, know, they're... one person we know.
Let's not bring him up.
Okay. Yeah.
He got his shirt. So I went to Hawaii and I was sitting, I rented a Jeep, like a Jeep Wrangler. Also something I'd never driven a Jeep before. This was just like.
Couple of firsts.
I felt like a young girl coming into her own. Like I was blossoming.
Okay.
Like, you know, a French man showed me the ways of the world.
Were you wearing like a yellow taffeta sundress, mm-hmm, and just driving with the plastic top pulled, unsnapped from the Wrangler?
Yes, actually that's. Yes, I was at the top unsnapped, mild but legal buzz.
Okay.
On, and I was driving this Jeep, and I had my wife next to me. Yeah. I had my father, my curmudgeon father-in-law behind me.
Got your
me.
Best gal on your arm.
Best gal, her dad, and it's a nice warm Hawaii night. It was like the Baywatch Nights version of me.
Okay.
You know, so and I'm driving down to Poipu.
Mm.
Everybody knows Poipu.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm driving down to Poipu, and I put on the radio, because I had the NPR station on the whole time, because it played that Hawaiian, like the old school Hawaiian music. You know that shit?
Yeah.
Which, in Hawaii, it's good everywhere, actually.
Feels good, though. It feels better in Hawaii.
Yeah. Now I get Dr. Jacoby from Twin Peaks, but he's Hawaii fetish. But so I'm driving down to Poipu and I got the NPR station on and I hear this music coming out of the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, this is good." You know. And it was good music, and what it was they're like in between songs, cuz NPR was like, "This is you're listening to." And then because it's Hawaii, that brought a you're listening to brought a Jerry Garcia band. And I was like, "Oh. Wait, what? Is this Jerry Garcia? Oh, this is the Grave. This is Grateful Dead."
Oh.
And I was like, I like this.
Uh-oh.
And then, the whole time, it was like Jerry Garcia playing like Dylan shit and like some of his own material and this noodly, crunchy, groovy. And then you start wanting to do that thing, that dance where you kind of pump your elbows.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of back and forth, like you're kind of like a troll, that troll hippie dance. And I'm in the car, I'm like, this is good. I'm feeling, I didn't know that this could make me feel this way.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was just a Hawaii thing. I thought it was just a vacation thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was something I was going to tuck away, put beneath my bed, and forget about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got one of these Sirius radios from my boss because the advertising. He's like, you should listen to Sirius because our ads are on Sirius, blah, blah, blah. And they have a Grateful Dead channel.
Yes, they do.
So I started off casually while I'm working in my office, just playing it in the background because nice to write to.
Oof.
Now it's kind of been the only thing I've been listening to for like 2 months.
It's too late for that.
That's what I was saying. I was telling my wife, I was like, can I put on the The Jerry Bear shirt?
No.
Throw that bumper sticker on my car? I've tried to resist it. I've tried to avoid knowing the names of songs.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, every time they play, I think it's called Friend of the Devil, I'm like, oh, that's good.
Okay. I'm going to stop you there. I don't. Okay.
You wouldn't want to hang out with me anymore if I started becoming one of them.
So there's approaches you can take here.
No, you live in the Bay.
I do. I do live in the Bay Area. So drawing on the different experiences I've had and the way people try and introduce new elements to their personality, both in like Los Angeles and in like the Bay Area, it's kind of the polar opposites in terms of people and how they carry themselves. Whereas here you would try and get ahead of it and be very self-aware and what you're doing right now and being like, well, you have all this context you built around it, and then you have all this justification, and then mm-hmm. you're trying to get ahead of it and be like, well, but I don't think this is okay, because you want us to kind of like implicitly grant this permission for you to be a deadhead.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Bay Area, I can introduce this approach to you. You don't just own that you're now into it. It's a 1984 Orwellian, I've always been into it.
You just didn't know.
You didn't know that aspect of it. Well, aren't you? You don't get it, so why would I ever discuss it with you? You put them down for not understanding what you're into.
Oh, that's a different headspace than Los Angeles. People who aren't from around here think that San Francisco, L.A. one and the same, but no.
No, no, no.
San Diego, L.A. and San Francisco are three different fucking beasts.
Yeah, well, if this was San Diego, then your neighbor would call Rush Limbaugh and be like, what do I do?
How do I extinguish?
Thanks, Obama. This is yet another symptom.
America's
dying.
Right.
But San Diego, Republican stronghold.
Yes. Now, I do recall, Mark, when we were doing our show in San Diego, when you remarked that, sadly, you did not have the chance to serve when talking to a United States veteran. The most condescending.
I've not had the opportunity.
You were not. No one asked you.
I could.
No one asked.
But I haven't. Yet another thing I feel I could not do this late in life.
Is join the military?
I feel like they would just actually reject me. It wouldn't be a moral quandary.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be like Stripes. We could do it together.
Oh.
And I'm sure it would be hilarious.
And accidentally enlist.
Yeah.
And then a couple hours later, we've all had our fun. We're going to go back home now.
And then we get hit by an IED in Fallujah. There's no Sean Young in Iraq, not like Stripes. But okay, to put a button on the Grateful Dead thing, here's what really made shit difficult. Now, you'll get this aspect. I was looking for somebody to listen to at work the other day, and I was like, I may want to hear a little Dead. Evidently, there's an online archive. Because, they let people tape their shows for like ever, and they're very kind of like share stuff, hippy dippy. And now here's the ability to nerd out on something is something that I love, and to get real granular on the shit I like, right?
Yeah.
You feel you're the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the things that you can get granular with are the things that you really start drawing yourself to. I found this website and it was like The Grateful Dead live in 1973.
Jesus.
At RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. And the guy had written down the amount of different medium that audio recording had gone through before making it to the archive. So it started as it had all these different abbreviations. So I had to look up the abbreviations to know that it was a soundboard mix to tape that was mixed over to vinyl, made it way over to CD, and then went to DAT.
Why?
That weird thing that happened during the Clinton administration.
Yeah.
And then swung down back into an MP3 high lossy format version of an MP3. And then I was like, ooh. And I was listening to it and I was like, I'd like to hear the original tape.
You can really hear the DAT.
Yeah, right.
You can really tell. You can really hear what it picked up on vinyl.
Yeah, and so now I'm losing my mind. Now I can take this. I can ride this pony into the sunset and not like anything else more in life. I could just become the most obnoxious deadhead of all time.
So is this something that you would own and admit to? Is this something you would say you've always had a passing fascination and you decided to dive deeper? Would you just admit that it was a fucking accident?
Yes, it was. Yeah. You know, but if you look at anything that's a passion, I find that most of it I just accidentally walked into. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just need this. That scratched an itch I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Like being slapped.
This is how I feel. Jesus. This is how
that was a bad night.
But that's what you're recovering from today, I assume.
Oh, no, I got slapped by booze last night, but
yeah.
Gentle mistress.
So I am going through a similar thing, but it's I feel it's not the wrong time, it's actually kind of the right time. I've started becoming fascinated by, like, I should hang stuff on my walls at my apartment.
Okay, that's something. When I was a teenager, when like I had pictures of Chewbacca on my wall when I was 7.
Yeah,
you had bare walls your whole life?
I've never really gone there. Never really gone there. I went to the dentist for the first time last week.
They tend to have nice art on the walls. Denny's and dentist's office tend to have the same art.
Yeah. You know, and I was like, well, first of all, going to the dentist was a big deal for me. I hadn't really been my whole life.
Another thing you came too late in life?
I came too late in life.
See, you're changing and growing.
Taking care of myself.
Yeah, taking care of your teeth.
Taking care of just any part of me.
Yeah.
Going to a doctor.
Fluoride tastes funny, huh?
They don't put it in the water where I'm from because it's a communist plot.
But don't they like the communists in San Francisco?
Florida. I'm from Florida.
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 Yes.
We don't fluoridate the water in Florida.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that I've come to that I've just neglected, like I should have gotten into when I was like in college, had I gone.
Maybe you should go back and get your degree.
Oh, maybe I should be Rodney Dangerfield in that movie.
University of Phoenix.
Dear. So I, taking care of myself, I was like, I should go to the dentist. My teeth hurt, and I was telling someone about it, and they were like, oh, well, what did the dentist think? And I'm like, dentist? Why would I do it? You just kind of go until you die, right? You're like a disposable camera.
Those pain merchants?
Well, they're like, I mean, there's so many people. Like, do we really need to, like, care for and maintain people? I mean, like, if I were to go, there's plenty.
There's enough people.
There's so many people.
It should be a personal choice to decide to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a societal choice.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I want to kill myself. I just don't see the need to, like, do regular maintenance and upkeep.
Right. You should, well, ask John about that.
Oh.
DraftKings.
DraftKings.
He's going by that now. That's a late in life decision, but we'll get back to that later.
Maintenance. And then at the same time, I'm coming into things that I should have gotten out of the way when I was like 12. Mm. Like getting real big into video games.
Yeah, see, that, I like, mean, that's...
So one of the...
That's getting weird. Recording yourself play video games. That, I don't get... That is so far off my radar of like things... When I come home from work.
Yeah.
Eat something... Do some work, if I have freelance work, watch a little telly.
The telly?
Grab the wife, you know.
Just have your way?
Try to have my way with the woman.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, but never. It's like, oh, I should film myself playing video games.
Well, listen, you know, like if I could come home and do... I don't have any of that. Oh, I don't have a home.
Nobody's ass to slap.
I don't have...
Get your pearls on, your vacuum.
I don't have freelance work.
Okay.
I don't have a lady. Mm. I got that Xbox.
Yeah.
I got an
internet. It's always there for you.
I got an internet connection.
Oh, yeah.
And a webcam. Mm. And a microphone. And I'm like... And
the angles are always funny on those things, because you got the guy with the headset, and he's... I just made a facial gesture, but...
It's a good visual bit.
It's one of those.
Very confused, looking, kind of one eye... one eye open a little more than the other. Got the big headphones on.
I'm playing Frogger here, and I've got a street to cross. Interesting thing is, right by the street, there's a pond. And right by the pond here, I've got a log. I'm going to jump on the log. Oh, didn't make it to the log. Let's back it up again now.
Well, you have to respond, and then people will be chatting at you. And you have to respond to that.
And are they like, jump on the log?
Or they're just like, you know, like, how was your day? You can ask them how their days were, and they'll tell you.
It's a real elaborate way to connect with the world.
It's
I feel.
Very well. So the so
wait,
I,
who are the people? I don't mean to get Jerry Seinfeld, but who's watching? Like the guy doing it, you know. God bless, right? But the guy watching it is another form. I don't want to go to the L word here.
Lesbian?
No.
Oh.
I don't want to go there because I'm sure some of them are listening here. They'd be like, oh, I just listen to the show.
Hey, some of them are listening right now.
I just listen to the show to hear Mark. I know. So
I am also one of those people, and I'm listening to you.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, keep going. Dig it. Dig it deeper.
No, I just want it. So
jump in.
What's the psychological profile of the person? Is somebody who's just really into video games? That's what I'm taking.
So, some of them, so it varies. Some of them...
Sexual deviants?
So it varies. Just getting it. And then it's over. No? Oh, wow. Yeah. He's a champion.
Go long. You tell you logged off. Where'd he go?
And so, there's a bit of... You know how dudes can't just hang out? They have to be drinking. Or they have to be watching sports.
Well,
or like something has to be happening in order for dudes to hang out.
Right. It's that. Well, with women, I feel it's a similar thing, but it's not that something has to be happening they're paying attention to. There has to be an emotional problem to overcome.
Right.
I'm going to go. Oh.
No, that was fun. That was a fun noise. So there has to be some kind of pretense for people to have these kinds of interactions.
Yeah.
And me logging on and playing a game. And then when people join, I'm like talking to them and we're having a conversation.
Kind of riffing.
It's and you're not talking about the game at all is a little bit of that. It's a pretense.
That sounds okay. Now I'm starting to get it.
So you're just like.
I don't want to get it.
But you could.
But now. Yeah.
You're just hosting a show.
Get 1% better every day.
Just 1% better. Mm-hmm. So I almost brought the Xbox and was going to make you play a game.
I don't know how.
Well, I mean, I'll play the game and you comment. You just sit there.
And now Mark is jumping on a log.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we missed it.
Oh.
Starting back over.
Oh, damn it.
There's a Chrysler Cordoba trying to hit him and he's a small frog. What's going to happen?
I mean, it's a good game.
There's too many. Here's the deal. And now I should possibly, at part of my goal to get 1% better every day, mm-hmm. go to the Xbox.
What are you doing there? You're making controller motions?
Yeah, now the controller. Here's the thing. There's too many buttons on the fucking controller.
There's too many buttons.
No, there used to be.
Oh, there was two buttons.
One orange button and one stick. And you went pop, 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 pop. And I could control that because I'm
went too far back.
Because I'm a human.
Okay.
Okay? And now there's two things going. There's nine buttons.
What's the deal with all these buttons?
It vibrates.
1-800-555.
Yeah. No, it's too much. I see video games are like pot, and that pot used to be you take a little hit of a J, you'd laugh, you'd enjoy life.
Yeah.
Now you take a hit of a J, and it's 8 hours of fucking like losing your mind and anxiety attacks and horror and pain.
Well, the pot got strong.
Yeah.
The pot got real weird.
The video game too. And now I don't see how everybody else made this transition into that game world. But, you know,
well, this is a thing that you could come into much later in life than you would be expected to.
See, I'm into something much more kind of lo-fi these days, which is and this is again, another embarrassing thing that I'm into, which is cooking.
Oh, dear God.
We got this thing called Blue Apron.
Have you heard about this? Yes, I know. Oh, my God.
Oh. So it's just this box of food, and they deliver it to you, and it's got three meals for you and, like, me and my wife. It's just the two of us.
Oh, you got one for me?
If you want.
No, I mean,
well, I mean, you would be taking from my wife and I's portions
because
it's portioned out correctly.
I see.
Part of the joy.
Ah.
So you get this box of food, and it's like cooled, and it's got like the dry ice in it.
Yeah.
And then you've got like a big stack of like organic veggies and like some really good cuts of meat. And then it's all these wacky ass recipes. And so the first time, like my wife would always cook it because she gets home early from me. And one day she's like, I'm busy. Could you cook? And I was like, oh, boy. I don't know how to do this. I was just looking at a box of ingredients. I was like, how do I make this into
the picture?
The eggplant parmesan.
Yeah.
Right? How do I do this? This is impossible. And then, like, I'm cutting that garlic, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, this feels nice. Because when you're staring at a computer all day,
yeah.
When you're sitting in traffic, cooking is like, it just feels good. Like, I'm cutting up this, you know, onion. And then I'm taking these Thai noodles and I'm putting it in with the beef.
Is it Zen for you or is it you're very engaged?
I'm completely engaged. Well, Zen is high form of engagement.
Oh, boy.
And so, yeah, I sit there and I cook. And then now I'm like, ooh, olive oil is like the greatest thing on earth. Like, olive oil is like, everything is awesome with olive oil. So, olive oil, salt, pepper, and then you throw this together. And then I suddenly start whipping together these like awesome meals that my wife and I wouldn't have cooked otherwise if we didn't have some jackass sending us a box of shit.
Yeah.
And now like it's almost like I'm addicted to it. Like if I come home, I have to sit down and I take out my German knife, which I sharpen from time to time,
and I
love it. I don't know, and I hate watching cooking shows. It's the worst thing in the world. People who watch cooking shows, I want to kill.
Okay.
The whole, everything about it, it's like the dead thing. Everything about it, I hate.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Okay. Do you think people should be resistant to this? Or do you think people should be actively seeking out things that they would, if you are dismissive of a concept and say, I'm too old for that, or I'm too young for that, should you double down because you had that visceral reaction, or are these like accidents that you should just try and avoid?
I know. I think you should go all the way into it, unless you're like a 50-year-old man that wants, like, 70-year-old man that wants to get deep into the woo. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some shit. It's just like,
you know, that guy.
You
would
miss
be,
that.
Yeah. He would, no. He would be a hero at that concert.
Oh, that's true.
The people would lift him up.
Yeah.
And like he would not pay a dime for alcohol.
That's, you know what, actually, I want to be the equivalent when I become 70 of the 70-year-old man today liking the Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Like, there will be, like, something we don't know about.
Hanson will come back real strong.
There will be an aggressive black music when I'm 70.
God willing
that I will want to listen to. You know, there used to be this old guy I used to go to this club all the time in Hollywood. And there was this old man that used to come to the club. And fucking A. Every young girl would grind on this old like Japanese man would show up every weekend to the club in Hollywood and just dance. And like, I don't know if he drank, whatever. And every young girl would grind on him. And I was like, this guy has it.
Yeah.
This guy's got it down. Cause he knows the game. He's not just like, oh, I'm an innocent old man. Yeah. Oh, Lord and Lord, I'm an innocent old man coming into the bar.
He's Japanese, by the way. Good impression.
What am I gonna do?
Nope, you're not going to do
it. Well, the funny thing is, my reluctant noise of going into the Japanese accent sounds just like a Japanese man.
Yeah.
So Mark has white legs and he can't even swim. With chopstick skills so weak he'd starve in Siam. Will Todd make a change, become a hippie?